greatest pleasure, it's my greatest honor to welcome back to Bhaktivedanta Manor His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj. No, I think actually you learned this Haribol, Haribol, Haribol from the Chaupati devotees. But I didn't see them do like that. That was like little kids. Let's have a serious welcome. Haribol! 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 That was a little better. We are very appreciative that His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj has taken the time of his very, very busy schedule, an increasingly busy schedule internationally, to come to Bhaktivedanta Manor and to spend these few days. Also later on, after Maharaj has been extensively touring Europe, America, he'll be returning again to Bhaktivedanta Manor and be spending approximately 1 week. So We'd like to really welcome Maharaj, and we deeply appreciate the time that he's come to spend with us this evening. His Holiness Radhanath Maharaj ki jai.
Om agyan timidandasya gyananjana chalakaya chakshurun militam jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katam Mayam Dadatishva Padantikam Bandeham Sri Guru Sri Jutha Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostate Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vansha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripasindubhya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna
Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama
Hare Krishna. It is my great honor and fortune to be amongst you at Sri Bhaktivedanta Manor. By the grace of Srila Prabhupada, we can come together in this way to utilize our very precious time in coming closer to Krishna. That should be the way we evaluate whatever we do in life, how it brings us closer to God. common life is especially a gift of God for the purpose of self-realization. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he prayed in this way, that, and he prayed to us, that you have been given this very precious gift of human life. It is so rare, so special. It provides opportunity to enter into the transcendent state of love of God. Why we waste it? Waste it in the day decorating our dying bodies. Wasting at night, sleeping. The son of Yashoda, who is all attractive, is calling us to the eternal home, his eternal abode, the place of transcendental love, where everything is eternal, full of knowledge and full of happiness. The human body is declared in Srimad Bhagavatam to be likened to a boat to take us across this ocean of material complexities and perplexities. And the spiritual guide is like the captain of the boat. And the words of the great scriptures are like the favorable breezes that help us to move forward and make real progress. So what a loss, what a great misfortune it is to waste the precious moments we have. Vishnu Purana declares that there is no greater tragedy than to waste a moment of this human life without coming closer to God. Death is inevitable. Old age is inevitable if we live that long. So these things are not bad. They are simply nature unfolding step by step under the power of time. But how we utilize the moments we have control over that. There are so many things within this world that are out of our control. Natural disasters, sometimes disease, how other people are going to treat us, what other people do within the environment around us, the process of aging, the power of time, death. But we do have something that we can control, our free will. And what is that free will? What choices we make moment after moment after moment, that will determine our destiny. Free will is to be exercised in this way, by making choice moment by moment by moment. We can make long-term choices, but we could really only effectively approach our long-term goal according to the choices we make at every second. In fact, every 11th of a second, which is considered a moment,
So responsibility is to be very sensitive, very careful, and very attentive to each moment. What choices we make. How we are directing our own free will. Krishna is all attractive. And he can only be approached through devotion. Bhaktyamam abhijanati abhanyashtasmitatmata. We can only attain the abode of the Lord that is within our heart through devotional service. So we are at every moment put in a situation where the illusory energy or Maya is pulling our mind, pulling our senses in that direction with the ropes of passion and ignorance, with the ropes of greed, pride, lust, envy, anger, and illusion. Very powerful ropes that are tightly binding us, and we're being pulled in that direction. And in the other direction is the all-loving, all-merciful Word of God that's pulling us toward humility, selfless service, compassion, love, forgiveness, dedication. And we have our choice. And according to every choice we make, we nourish our capacity to go one way or the other. Every time we choose Maya's call, that power becomes stronger, and we become weaker and weaker and weaker in our intelligence, in our capacity to resist. And every time we surrender to Krishna's calling, we become stronger. We become more empowered. We become closer to the grace. We become more situated in the shelter of the grace of God. So the idea that to choose Maya now will give us some misconception, or the idea that if we choose Maya now, then we could always take to Krishna later. Isn't this the propaganda of the mind? That yes, you know this is right, but Krishna's always there. Krishna's eternal. He's always waiting for you. Just come to me now. You have the rest of your life for Krishna. In this way, moment after moment, but every time we give in, we become more under that control. Every time you shoot heroin into your veins, you become more dependent and addicted upon it. Yes? Similarly, every time we give in to Maya, we become more controlled and addicted to that experience. And it becomes more and more difficult to give it up. And why are people so very deeply entrapped in these mental and sensual experiences? Because in the past, they have made that choice to go deeper and deeper into the perpetuation of bondage. But But Lord Chaitanya has come in this age of Kali, so kind. Jeev jago, gaura chandrapole, kota nitra jayo maya pisa chirakole. Wake up, wake up, wake up, sleeping souls. You are sleeping in the control of the lap of Maya. Wake up. All the treasure of happiness that we are longing for is right within your own heart. Krishna is there. Wake up. Chant his holy names. Hear his glories. Choose to utilize your wonderful human life for that purpose, for the purpose of service. Exploitation is the source of all misery, and service is the only source of real happiness. Because service is a spiritual principle, and selfish, egoistic enjoyment is the mundane propaganda that keeps us away from our true nature. So tonight, I saw on the paper that they gave me, I'm supposed to speak on family values. So this is my introduction. That is a long subject that can be discussed socially, psychologically, spiritually, emotionally, practically. And I'm not so expert at that. But I will say something from a point of view that may be relevant. That the spiritual world is a family. The ultimate truth is family life. Hare Krishna. It is a fact. The absolute truth is family life. Now, this may come as a surprise for you to hear a sannyasi speaking like this. But when we read the Krishna book, in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, it's just a wonderful family life. There's Nanda and there's Yashoda and there's Krishna and Brishabhanu and Kirtita and there's Srimati Radharani and the cowherd boys and the gopas and the gopis, and they're all a family. Yes? Every elderly gopi in all of Braj accepts Krishna like her own son. Whether they feel that he was born, everyone knows that he was born of Yashoda and no one else. Yes? But they love him as a mother. It's family. They love him as a mother. They serve him as a mother. And Krishna sees every elder gopi, and there's unlimited of them, as his mother. And he treats them like his mother. He reciprocates them like mother. And every elderly gopa considers Krishna his father. Yes? And everyone in Braj considers Radharani their daughter. And she reciprocates with all the elder gopas and gopis like a father and mother. This is Vrindavan. And all the other gopas and gopis, they all relate to Krishna like a brother. Or like a lover. I remember a couple of years ago, Janani Vas Prabhu was at our temple in Bombay. By the way, 2 days ago, we celebrated his 61st birthday. Do you all know Janani Vas Prabhu? He's the head pujari of Sri Mayapur Dham. Janani Vas Prabhu came to Mayapur in 1971
when there was nothing on that property but a straw shack, straw hut. Prabhupada was living in that straw hut. And the rest of the property was just barren fields. And Prabhupada had little deities, not little, but brass deities, eight metals, Radha Madhav. And he ordered Janani Vas, you stay here the rest of your life and you serve Radha Madhav as their pujari. And he did. He's from the UK, the United Kingdom. Huh? He's from Barnet.
Barnet, yeah.
Where is Barnet? Does everyone know where Barnet is? Where is it? It's close to here? How many miles?
5 miles. 4 miles. 9 miles. 6, 7.
He was born and raised in Barnet. Just about 4 miles from Bhaktivedanta Maharaj. And his family is probably still there. And do you want to know something? He was probably born closer to Bhaktivedanta Manor than any devotee on earth. Yes? Is there anyone born closer? Is there any devotees from Lechmore Heath? So he's probably born closer to Bhaktivedanta Manor than anybody on earth, except for one person. Pankajangari, his identical twin brother. But just to extol his glories, I'd like to tell you, he's never been to Bhaktivedanta Manor. And he never will come to Bhaktivedanta Manor. Because he took Prabhupada's instruction as his life and soul. He's never left India since 1971. And for about 25 years, he never left Mayapur. Never left the property where his deity was until for service, devotees were calling and begging and his superiors were encouraging to go to some other parts of India to help with the deity worship, installing deities only on rare occasions. But by his kindness, he agreed to be the head pujari of our Radha Gopinath temple in Bombay some years ago, so he comes every year. And just the day I left, Saturday night, we celebrated his 61st birthday. So he was giving a class, and he's a brahmachari. He's really a brahmachari. And he was talking about the glory of family life. Should I tell you what he said?
Yes.
Now, it's not so often that Naistika brahmacharis speak about the glories of family life. But he was saying that the whole spiritual world of Vrindavan is nothing but family life. Everyone has these relationships of love and trust. The idea of a family is that we're always there for each other. Even in this world, that's the conception of what a family is supposed to be. That however many different changes and transitions we go through in life, we're always there for each other. Other people, friends and acquaintances, they may come and go. But family is always there. Yes? We could always depend on each other. Of course, in Kali Yuga, so many families are fighting in courts over a father's property and all of these things. It's not like that. But that is the ideal. That a family gives stability and security to each other because we can depend that we're there for each other. In its ultimate perfection, in the spiritual world, because everything is centered around service and loving devotion to Krishna, There's a complete trust and faith that everybody has for everyone. There's unlimited living beings. And because we see Krishna, we see that this aham bija pratapita, Krishna tells in Gita, even in this world, I am the seed-giving father of every living being. In that sense, all creation is a family. If we see from the point of view of truth that Krishna is the seed-giving father of every living being. Lord Chaitanya told Haridas Thakur and Nityananda Prabhu, when you go out to teach people to chant the names, you should give them this message, that Krishna is your mother, Krishna is your father, Krishna is your wealth, Krishna is your life and soul. Chant the name of Krishna. When we understand Krishna within our own heart, then we understand, we realize, we can experience Krishna in the heart of every living being. Therefore, there's affection, there's love, and that may manifest as compassion, or it may manifest as reverence, according to that particular person's relationship with us. When Srivas Thakur and the Vaishnavas were having kirtan day and night, considering that the people of Kali Yuga are so fallen, they are so far from Krishna, they were praying that, well, when if Nimai, Lord Chaitanya, if Nimai becomes a devotee, then he can bring everyone to the lotus feet of Krishna. Otherwise, there's no hope. And when they got the news that Nimai Pandit had become a Vaishnav after coming back from Gaya, Srivas Thakur called out beautiful Bengali sloka, which essentially means, may our family increase. Now, he wasn't talking about procreating many, many babies and having grandchildren and great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren and all of that. He was talking about people actually becoming lovers of Krishna. May our family increase. Prabhupada's International Society for Krishna Consciousness is a family of devotees. Family in the sense that we have a father, a founder, acharya, grandfather. On a spiritual level, we're all connected in family life. Yes? Brothers, sisters. And in traditional Indian culture, there's no difference between a brother and a cousin brother, or a sister and a cousin sister. Yes? There's the same affection, there's the same bond, there's the same love. I remember when I was in a family's house in Kurukshetra, very, very traditional family, and they really have this realization. And it's quite amazing. They're devotees too. Every night they come together to chant kirtan together, and the whole room is full. I don't even know how many people. It's not this many, but something like that. They're full, and there's five brothers, a father, a mother, five brothers, and a couple sisters, and then they all have husbands and wives, and they all have children, and some of them have children. And it's one family. And I asked one of the girls, which one is your father? She said, all five of them. I said, well, which one is actually your father? She said, we don't make those distinctions. And I didn't tell the father what she said. I asked one of the fathers, which ones are your sons and daughters? He said, all of them. I said, well, I understand, but you know. Well, which one? He said, but we don't make those distinctions. They're all there for each other. All the cousins are brothers and sisters, and it's not like, oh, you're from that, and there's no sectarianism. There's no factions. They're all serving each other so nicely. So Prabhupada has created an international family. And in Mayapur Dham, every year he wanted a wonderful festival for his whole family to come and unite from all over the world. Wonderful. White people from America, and black people from Africa, and yellow people from China, and dark people from India, and red people from other parts of America. Any other colors?
White people from Ireland.
You know better than me. Well, we're people from Jewish and Christian and Muslim and Jain and Parsi and Hindu and atheistic and communistic and Buddhistic philosophies, and they're all coming together as devotees. And the common father, common grandfather, common father is Krishna. Common spiritual guide, Prabhupada. So, this is what Prabhupada has given us. And like Srivast Thakur, his greatest happiness is to see the family increasing. Because the increasing of the family means more and more and more people are recognizing their relationship with God and experiencing the relief of forgetfulness of God and the ecstasy of that connection. That is yoga means union. Religion, religio is Greek, which means to bind together, to bind back. So this is the principle. And Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission is Sankirtan. Sankirtan is family. Together, we are united with our hearts connected to loving Krishna and serving Krishna by chanting his holy names. Now, within the family, we can't be sentimental and monistic about it. There's variegatedness. There's brahmacharis, and brahmacharis have certain relationships with the opposite sex in the sense that they don't deal intimately, but they offer respect. They're serving by offering respect and being good example, and ladies have their particular role of how they deal etiquette with brahmacharis in a very restrained and respectful way. And families, married couples, how they deal with their own inner family and how they relate to other family. This is all Vaishnava etiquette, and it's beautiful. It's extraordinary. To the degree we actually live by Vaishnava etiquette, such an amazing culture and environment is created. It's based on respect. It's based on care. And it's all meant to uplift us. And how devotees honor each other, while at the same time maintaining the proper dignity of their particular status and their relationship with people of other status. Some example in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Leela. There was Rupa Goswami, Sanatan Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, Swarup Damodar Goswami. These were very, very powerful renunciates. They were Goswamis of the highest order of detachment, simplicity. But never, ever, ever Was there ever a sense that they were ever condescending or offensive toward the family people? They honored and worshiped the family people, but at the same time maintained the dignity of their own detachment and renunciation. They didn't compromise, but they did it with so much affection, compassion, and respect for all others. Yes. And the householders toward the renunciates also. She went on to say, he was a householder who really had exemplary family values. Shall I speak something about that? The idea is, according to our capacity and according to our relationship with others, we only have one position: servant, of the servant, of the servant. That is our eternal identity. Jivarasvarupoi Krishnera Nityadas. That we're servants of Krishna. And to be a servant of Krishna, Mahaprabhu taught, Gopi Bhattua Padakamalayora Das 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 Anudas. That we're servant of the servant of the servant. That is our eternal identity. We may be temple presidents, we may be GBCs, we may be spiritual masters, we may be head pujaris, we may be cooks, we may be sweepers, we may be farmers, we may be taking care of the cows or distributing books or taking care of our family or teachers. These are designations that we take temporarily. We may be brahmacharis, grihastas, vanaprastas, sannyasis. But the spirit in which we do whatever we do is that we're servant of the servant of the servant. That's really all who we are. And we have a particular way of serving. And the particular way of serving, if it's done properly, is not only most beneficial for us, but it's most beneficial for the society of devotees and for the benefit of the world. That everyone is working together in that way. So how Sivananda Sen was respected? He was not a wealthy man, but he did earn a living. And his spirit of service was every year, not just once, but every year, for about 20 years, he would arrange everything for the journey of 200 to 300 devotees from Bengal to Jagannath Puri. It took between 15 and 20 days to walk, at least. There were no hotels or motels. There were no restaurants. Now, how do you deal with it? Taking 200 to 300 people. There were no buses or trains or airplanes. Just like last year, the patron council with Shuti Dharma Prabhu and Pranabandhu Prabhu, they all came to Moscow. It's very nice. And that wasn't easy, arranging flight tickets and accommodations and prasad and all of those things to take. But can you imagine taking by walking? That means every night, wherever they are, he arranged residential arrangements. That means 2 to 3 times a day, even in jungles where they were passing through, he had to arrange wonderful meals of Krishna prasad. And they had to go through all different countries. It wasn't like India is today. Everything was broken up into little kingdoms. And there were feudal lords and zamindars that had various forms of control. And practically,
a couple times a day sometimes, they had to pass into another country where there was immigration type situations. They didn't care about your passport, they just cared about your money. They charged taxes. And there was a lot of corruption. You didn't know how much they were going to pay, because they could tax you anything they want. What to speak of a party of 300. And Sivananda Sen would not only pay all the taxes for every single devotee, but he had to go through all the harassment of trying to bring the people down, the tax collectors, to a reasonable amount. Very difficult. And he was arranging all necessities for their health. This was his service to the devotees. And it explains that on his way to Puri, he was the happiest amongst everybody. He was blissful. He did all the work. All the other devotees, they just chanted and danced the whole way. That's all they had to do. They just chanted and danced and talked about Krishna and enjoyed. And Sivananda Sen single-handedly did all the work. And it is explained, every year, the whole trip to Puri was the source of the greatest happiness for Sivananda Sen. Because there's no greater happiness to a person who's spiritually pure than to serve. Now, for most of us, it would have been a great anxiety. Yes? He was tortured by unlimited anxieties during that trip. Yes? All the demands, all the difficulties of residential quarters and all these obscure places, and sometimes he couldn't get it on time, and if the devotees were disturbed, Nityananda Prabhu, Sivananda Sen was delayed by some tax collectors who were harassing him horribly. And so he let everybody else go through. That's what he would do. He just told the tax collectors, let everyone else go through, you walk. And he stayed back and dealt with them. And they just were harassing him so much that he was late. And Nityananda Prabhu, he wanted to test Sivananda. He wanted to show the world the greatness of Sivananda Sen. He said, where is my food? Where is Sivananda Sen? I'm so hungry I could die. I curse Sivananda Sen's sons to die. Haribo. So Sivananda Sen's wife was crying. Most wives would cry. And then Sivananda Sen came and he saw his wife crying. So he said, what's wrong? She said, Nityananda Prabhu was so hungry that he cursed our sons to die. Our three sons, our beloved sons. He says, why are you crying? For the inconvenience we have caused him, then our sons deserve to die. What can we do? So then he went to Nityananda Prabhu, and Nityananda Prabhu kicked him right in the chest. Really hard, too. And Sivananda Sen went and arranged the residential quarters for Nityananda Prabhu, and then got him some nice prasad. And then he prayed to Nityananda Prabhu. He said, today is the most fortunate day of my whole life. Today you have accepted me as your servant. Today, by kicking me in the chest, you have accepted me as your servant. I do not deserve such causeless, infinite mercy. You have given such kindness on such a fallen, undeserving soul. The very feet that Brahma and Shiva spend many, many millenniums meditating on to attain, you have causelessly put those feet on my wretched body. Today, because I have gotten the dust of your feet, my family, my home, my life, my wealth, my ancestors, everything has attained its perfection. Nityananda Prabhu got up and embraced him with great love. Of course his sons didn't die. That we should put on the record properly. And Nityananda Prabhu never had the intention. He just, in his own avadhut, exceptionally extraordinary way, wanted to just show the world what is this Shivananda Sen. What is his greatness? And he's a householder. One time a dog, Prabhupada said it was a street dog. It wasn't a pedigree French poodle or something like that. That's worth, you know, so many tens and thousands of dollars. It was a street dog. And you know what street dogs are like in India. Huh? So the street dog just happened to join up with the 300 devotees. And Shivananda Sen just considered, he's part of the family. He's part of the family. He's come. He's coming to see Lord Chaitanya with us. So Shivananda Sen was arranging meals in the middle of nowhere for all these people, and he was arranging for the dog. He would make special rice for the dog. Because he didn't like the same kind of rice as all the devotees were. Special provision of rice for the dog. And he was very careful to make sure that the dog was properly respected. And one time they had to cross a river. So many times there's rivers. And they had to get on boats. And Shivananda Sen would be the one every time to negotiate the price for every person, and he would pay. Haribo. So after paying for all the people, the boatman said, "No dogs allowed on this boat." So Shivananda Sen paid the boatman many times more than for a human's fare, so that the boatman would let the dog on. Paid him a large sum of money. Huh? And of course, the boatman didn't mind. And on another day, in the evening, Shivananda Sen was really being harassed by some tax collectors. So he told his assistants that, you know, you go ahead and take care of the devotees and make sure you give provision to the dog also. So at night he came, Shivananda Sen, and he specifically asked his assistants, "Did you feed the dog?" And the assistant said, "I forgot." So Shivananda Sen took 10 men and with 10 men searched for the dog. For hours and hours and hours, and they couldn't find the dog anywhere. Huh? Actually, he took rest at night, and the next morning they searched for the dog everywhere. They couldn't find. And he felt like he had offended the lotus paws of the dog. Excuse me. And the next day, to atone for his offense, Shivananda Sen fasted all day. Fasted all day, fed all the other devotees, but he fasted because he felt he made an offense to this dog. Because he felt responsible. That's leadership. Even though he didn't do anything wrong, he gave the proper order. But one of his assistants was neglectful. He took the responsibility. He didn't blame it on that other person. He took the full responsibility. This happened under my charge. I'm responsible for this offense. This dog came to me to go to Puri, and now he's not going to Puri. He was very sad. Now, Prabhupada quotes Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati. That does that mean Sivananda Sen was attached to a dog? No, he wasn't. He was attached to the spirit of compassion, of bringing a living entity to Krishna. He didn't discriminate between what type of living entity it was. Any living entity who was using its free will to accept his service of going back to Lord Chaitanya, he considered that person his Prabhu, his master. He saw this, he bowed down to the dog. Hare Krishna. This is family values. Hare well. Should I end here? Should I end here or continue? Okay. And it is described that the next day the dog was not to be seen because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent him to the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. Shri Radha Gokula Nanda ki jai. What is the lesson to be learned from this extraordinary story? That whoever a devotee shows special affection to, that personality is going to get the special mercy of the Lord. Tumi to Thakur, tomara kukur, Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Prabhupada quotes him. He's praying, let me just be the dog of Krishna. Let me just be the dog of a Vaishnav. This is the power of one who loves Krishna. Whoever he shows affection to will get this special, causeless, inconceivable mercy of the Lord. How wonderful. Sivananda Sen, one year he came to Lord Chaitanya and he told Lord Chaitanya that his wife was pregnant. Now, Prabhupada explains in One Morning Walk that generally sannyasis are not so concerned with women getting pregnant. But because it was Sivananda Sen and his wife was of the same spiritual character as her husband, Lord Chaitanya was very happy. He was very happy to hear that his wife was pregnant. And he said, with great joy, he said, when the child is born, name him Paramananda Puri. Named after one of Lord Chaitanya's guru's godbrothers. So Sivananda Sen, after being in Puri with the devotees, I want to tell you something else before going into the Paramananda Puri story, which is quite esoteric. Sivananda Sen would spend about 20 days making all the arrangements for the trip. When they would get to Puri, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would personally arrange the residential quarters for all the devotees, and then after they all had their accommodations, Lord Chaitanya appointed Sivananda Sen to make sure they had that every devotee was well taken care of and had everything they needed. So it wasn't just the trip there and the trip back, but the whole 4 months that they remained there, Sivananda Sen was in charge of taking care of all the needs of all the devotees. over 400, 300-400 sometimes. Hare Krishna. This was his service attitude. This was his happiness. This was his ecstasy, just serving the Vaishnavas.
So Lord Chaitanya said, when you name your son
Paramananda Puri when he is born.
So Shivananda saying, after the Chaturmas, you went back to his home, which was near Kumarahatta, Kanchadapata, and his wife gave a baby, and he named him Paramananda Puri. And a couple of years later, when little Puri was a little boy, a little baby, Shivananda Sen, along with his wife, brought the baby to Jagannath Puri. And when Lord Chaitanya saw the little Puri, lesson, huh?
Said he was a little Puri.
All right. He was a little Puri. When he saw little Puri, Mahaprabhu, out of affection, placed his toe in Puri's mouth. And Puri sucked on Lord Chaitanya's toe.
Hare Krishna. Now, what was the result of that? When he grew up, he became one of the greatest poets that ever lived. The next year, when little Puri came, after sucking Lord Chaitanya's toe, which is a great benediction, Lord Chaitanya, he loved Shivananda Sen and his family so dearly. Lord Chaitanya said, Puri, chant the name of Krishna. By this time, Puri was a little boy.
And Puri didn't say anything. Lord Chaitanya said, chant Krishna, Krishna, chant Krishna's names. And Puri didn't say anything. Silent. And then Shivananda Sen, he was worried. He was saying, my son, the Lord is asking you to chant Krishna's name, chant Krishna's names, please chant Krishna's names. And Puri was couldn't say a word. Shivananda said, please, please, my son, chant. And Lord Chaitanya said, I have come to this world to make the whole world chant. I have made the whole world chant the holy names of Krishna. Everyone who I approach, I induce them to chant Hare Krishna, whoever they may be. He said, the only person in the creation that I'm unable to get to chant Krishna's names is Puri.
And then Swarup Damodar Goswami, he spoke. He said, my Lord, as far as I could see, he's chanting with pure love within his mind, silently. But he's so humble. He's so humble that he doesn't want to chant out loud in front of everyone, but he's chanting within his mind. And that was the end of that.
But then on another day, Lord Chaitanya told Puri, please tell us about Krishna. And he's just a little boy. By this time, I think he was 7 years old. Yes, according to Chaitanya Charitamrita, I believe he was 7 years old. And little Puri composed one of the most brilliant, ornamented Sanskrit slokas describing the glory of Krishna. That Krishna is like a blue lotus to the ears. Krishna is like an ornament of the most precious jewel to the chest. He was just describing the glories of Krishna in such sweet, impeccable Sanskrit poetry. The devotees were swooning, and then they understood what Swarup Damodar Goswami was saying is correct. He's always remembering and chanting Krishna's name from within. And later on, this Puri Das became the great Vaishnavacharya poet, Kavi Karnapur.
He wrote Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Gaura Ganodesh Deepika. And the great drama, the Chaitanya Chandramrita. Yes? Chaitanya Chandramrita Nataka. Which are, even to this day, 500 years later, considered some of the greatest crest jewels of literatures. That was one of the three of Shivananda Sen's sons. His eldest son was Chaitanya Das. Then there was Ram Das, and there was Puri Das. Now I'd like to tell you something about Chaitanya Das, with your permission. Great devotee. When he was just he was a boy. Lord Chaitanya was in Puri, and Shivananda Sen invited Lord Chaitanya to his house for prasad. Lord Chaitanya came, and Shivananda Sen procured the most opulent, wonderful preparations of Jagannath's Mahaprasad and fed Lord Chaitanya profusely. Lord Chaitanya, because Shivananda Sen were so eager for him to take more and more and more, Lord Chaitanya could not say no. So he ate a lot and got indigestion. Hare Krishna. So the next day, Lord Chaitanya had indigestion. And Chaitanya Das, Shivananda Sen's young son, he understood Lord Chaitanya had indigestion. So he extended an invitation to Lord Chaitanya for prasad. So Lord Chaitanya went to Shivananda Sen's house again, and Chaitanya Das personally arranged to cook preparations made with lemon, ginger, bitter melons, and mostly it was rice with yogurt and lemon and all these other ingredients in it, which are especially made only for people who have indigestion. And it's not that Lord Chaitanya complained. It's not that I have indigestion. It's just like we like to complain. He didn't say anything. But Chaitanya Das could understand the Lord's heart. He could understand the innermost part of his heart that he had indigestion. And he invited him and made a special prasad of food for sick people. And when Lord Chaitanya ate it, he was in ecstasy. He was in total ecstasy. Because this was Chaitanya Das's love. Actually, Lord Chaitanya is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In his partial manifestation within this world of the Virat Rupa, he was eating millions of soldiers. Yes. He could eat anything. On another occasion, he ate an entire room full of prasad in a matter of moments. So he had indigestion, actually, just to reciprocate the love of his devotee. So this was Shivananda Sen's family. Chaitanya Das, Ram Das, and Puri Das, and a wife who was like the goddess of devotion. And Lord Chaitanya loved that family so much. On several occasions, it's written in the scriptures, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said to Shivananda Sen that your family is so dear to me, your family is my family. And one year in Puri, Lord Chaitanya instructed his personal servant Govinda that every day, every meal that I take prasad, you must give the remnants of my Mahaprasad to the family of Shivananda Sen. Why? Because of his incredible service attitude, selfless service attitude. And his children, his wife, everyone in the family adopted that same spirit. Therefore, Mahaprabhu anyone who Shivananda Sen favored became dear to Lord Chaitanya. There are so many other stories that I'd love to tell you, but we are out of time. Shivananda Sen, extraordinary, grihastha. Honored the grihasthas, honored the sannyasis, honored the dog. And everyone honored him. There was no distinction as far as the respect and honor given. Maybe some variations in etiquette according to time, place, circumstance, and people. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself extolled the glories of these devotees as if he had sometimes thousands of mouths. So the essence of Krishna conscious family value is the essence, is the spirit of service with devotion. United around sharing Krishna. That is real love. Real love is sharing Krishna. Because Krishna is the absolute truth. If we're not sharing Krishna with each other, our relationship is illusory. It's temporary. But how to share Krishna with each other? It's a science. Must be with devotion, with a spirit of care, with a spirit of affection, with a spirit of really wanting to help each other. Prabhupada explains in this regard, when Prabhupada's glorifying Shivananda Sen, in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Prabhupada reflects on the same principle that was in his life. Just as Shivananda Sen was so concerned with all of his children to love Lord Chaitanya, Prabhupada said when he was a young boy, his father was such a devotee that he would invite sadhus to house every day and serve them so nicely. And it's the only thing he wanted, as Prabhupada said, he would ask the sadhus, please bless my son, that he will be very dear to the consort of Krishna, Srimati Radharani. That he will become a dear servant of Srimati Radharani. Prabhupada was brought up from his earliest childhood hearing that this is the greatest benediction in life. That was the value that he was brought up with. Family value means, first of all, to understand what's valuable, what is actually to value, and to pursue, to keep Krishna in the center. And to keep Krishna in the center is not just a ritualistic concept, it has to be pure. If we keep Krishna in the center of our life in the spirit of bhakti, then it has to be with care, with attention, with affection. Not in a mood of exploiting each other for sense gratification. But in a spirit of actually being an instrument of Krishna's love. That is the parents' duty to each other, that is the parents' duty to the children, and as the children are growing over, that is the children's duty toward the parents and toward each other, and toward the world. To be instruments of Krishna's love. That is valuable. And everything, if we understand that spirit, everything else, emotionally, sociologically, philosophically, everything is included. What does it mean to serve? What does it mean to love? To share Krishna? Means the basic is to be kind to each other, to to be respectful to each other, to honor each other as Vaishnavas. Vaishnava aparad is the mad elephant offense. And that also applies to your husband or wife. It's not everyone except them. Also applies to your children. Also applies to your parents if they're Vaishnavas. I have not seen a clause where it talks about Vaishnava aparad. I've not seen clauses that everybody except your husband or your wife or your children or your parents. There's no clauses. If they're servants of Krishna, if they're devotees of Krishna, if you abuse them, if you mistreat them, if you neglect them, if you unnecessarily hurt them, that's going to be detrimental to your own spiritual life. It's a serious responsibility to create that honor, that respect, and that harmony. And Prabhupada explains, that's where Krishna is in the center, in the spirit of congenial service, when the family is congenially working or living together to serve Krishna. And in order to do that, you have to serve each other. And Prabhupada says, then the house becomes Vaikuntha, not the deep dark well, but Vaikuntha. If that's not the spirit, an andakupam, which means deep, dark well, there's no water, only suffering. And even if you cry for help, no one hears you. So that is our choice. Do we want to create a deep, dark well, or do we want to create our home into Vaikuntha? How we honor each other, how we respect each other, how we keep service in the center rather than exploitation. All for the purpose of serving Guru and Krishna. Shivananda Sen is a shining example. How he and his family lived in such an affectionate way to nourish each other, and with whatever strength they had from that nourishment that they shared with each other, they used it to serve the devotees, the Lord, and anyone who they could give Krishna to. And Srila Prabhupada, one of his most important books, Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which was paid for by George Harrison, who also gave us Bhaktivedanta Manor. Prabhupada dedicated the book to his father, Gaur Mohan Day. He dedicated the book to Gaur Mohan Day, his father, who gave him the values in which he learned, at least he was speaking like this, how to love Krishna, how to serve Krishna, and how these values were later expanded by his eternal father, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, his Guru Maharaj. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you very much.
Shri Radhanath Maharaj Ki Jai.